So the as I went through this lesson, I adapted it to be more from the sense of me just speaking it to you versus it being a sermon where I would ask you to answer questions. So they always say to start a lesson with a story. You know, last week I was in a class. And guess what the class was? Strategic communications. Do you think it should help me tonight? It should, right? But the first word is strategic. Does anybody know what strategic means? It's like, you know, 10,000 feet up here. And it's more for executives. And it's like that type of communication. So we're not going there tonight. We're going to keep it low where you can understand it. Okay? Growing up, my folks always instilled in me and my brothers and sister the importance of education and how important it was that we all got an education. So they did their best. They sent us to parochial schools for those that don't know what that means. It's Catholic schools. And I went through K through, well, really first grade through 12th grade. And was that a guarantee of success? Wisdom and understanding? No, it really wasn't. But my mom said that, you know, I need to pursue an education. So did I stop there at high school? No. I went further on. Long story short, is just because we get an education, does that give us wisdom? No, not really. It's how we apply the wisdom that we have received from others. And how that relates tonight is the wisdom we're talking about tonight is God's wisdom. So what I'm going to try to bring to your attention is how that can make a difference in our lives, in our service to God, right? And that's all we really want to do is be better in our service to God. And part of that is having the wisdom to do that. And again, it's a progressive thing. And what I mean by that is we are learning every day. We're learning how to be better, how to do it better. And communication is important for all of us because that's how we understand what we want to say to each other. So if I say something tonight that is not quite there, you'd be my friend if you tell me about it later. And I said, I didn't say that because I've done that before. Because sometimes we get in the moment and we say things, well, I didn't mean to say that. But what you have here is an outline of what we're going to be going over tonight. You know, I'm not going to keep you here as long as Jim kept you this morning. Even though if you look at that, it says, how is he going to go over all that? Again, this is a overview, and I'm going to hit the high points of this. So when you think about it, the question is who is a wise man? And if you go to, I guess if we could go back to James 3 and verse 13, we can see that. But if we go way back, to Adam and Eve, what happened there? Was somebody trying to get something that they really shouldn't have gotten? And what did Satan try to do to Eve? What did he try to do? Promise her something he couldn't deliver, right? Wisdom that they would know things. And really tempted Eve. So we have to stay away from that. But as I was mentioning before about education, in wisdom, there's a distinction between education and wisdom. You know, we can teach a parrot to say certain things, right? Does that mean they have wisdom? They learned, right? But really, and also, a fool can be educated. But does that mean they have wisdom? So if we get a PhD in whatever discipline you want to pick, does that make us wise? Not necessarily. But people have that idea that if we have initials after our names, we have a certain amount of wisdom. It's how we apply the wisdom to one another. So there's eight things here. So tonight, I want you to take home, okay, this is your homework. I want you to take home one of these eight things that I'm going to bring up, okay? And as I mentioned at the beginning, this is a progressive thing. So there's eight here that we're going to go over. And it's everything that we should have in our lives and how we can become wise and have the understanding that we need to in our service to God. So the first thing I'd like to go over is we need to live a good life. So what do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? You know, James answered the question, let him show out of a good conversation, show by his good life. And that's in the American Standard Version in James 3 and verse 13. It's wise to be good. It is foolish to be evil. Again, in our society today, we're trying to be taught that evil is good, right? Almost daily. No, that's not right. We need to live the good life. We see also from this verse that there's a genuine wisdom, and it's always accompanied with meekness. Again, getting back to our attitudes. What is your attitude? You know, as we go over these eight things, is we have to ask ourselves, you know, how do I fit into this? You know, do I really try to do these things in my life? Because that's what it's all about as well, is the application of what we have before us. We can read, we can understand, but we need to apply those things to our lives. Because if we don't apply them, they're not going to be of any value to us in trying to get to heaven. Okay? So the second one, which is really number three, one who respects parents. So I can speak to this one since both my folks have passed away. It's difficult to do that now. But I tried when they were living to honor and respect them and show the proper respect. So I ask you tonight, if you have parents that are living, do you give them the proper respect that they are due? Do we look at them as what they have done for us? And also, having to work with this is children and how they're commanded to honor their parents. And again, you know, when we look at it, is the honor has to be earned in the respect that we have to show that we deserve the honor too in the way we live and the example that we give to them. And some scriptures there are Ephesians 6 and verse 2. And also it was one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and verse 12. How about counsel? Has anybody taken you aside and say, hey, Tim, I need to talk to you? You know, if you did it this way, it may have turned out completely different than the way it really turned out. You really upset those guys. So do we take counsel? Do we value other people's opinions? And the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. So how many times have we done that? Okay. How many times have I done that? Okay. Get it more personal. I've done it many times. And do you think I have this thing on my menu? And guess what's on that menu? Guess what's on that menu? Crow. You know what crow is? Have y'all eaten crow lately? Okay. In other words, you know, you have to apologize to somebody. Or you have to reflect on what you really did. To me, that's all part of is taking counsel from others. Others that have been there. Others that have done that. And how does that apply to me? And am I willing to accept that? Or am I too educated? Or am I, or do I have too much wisdom to take that from others? So also, we can look at that as far as a fool will not listen, but the wise will. No one can tell the fool anything. He has to learn the hard way. How many want to learn the hard way? Raise your hand. How many want to learn the hard way? How many? Come on. Nobody? Nobody? Oh, you want to? Okay, great. You need to talk to her. But we, you know, unless you're, you know, something that you enjoy pain, you don't want to learn the hard way, right? I know we all make mistakes and we have to apologize appropriately, you know, when it's needed. But we have to be willing to accept counsel from others, especially, you know, those in the church. And the next one is 5, and that's in Proverbs 10 and verse 19. One who restrains their lips do well. Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? You know, when those words come out, can you take them back? Nope, they're done out. You can't take it back. So he that refraineth his lips is wise. In other words, sometimes we just got to put a lip on it. You know, or put the close pins on our lips. Why do you think so? Well, in the multitude of words there, wanteth, not sin. A fool is soon recognized by his speech. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, he's counted wise. And that's Proverbs 17, verse 28. So we have to make sure that when we do open our mouths, that for one thing, it's appropriate. And I'm not talking about, you know, just, you know, having fun. But this has to do with when we're dealing with people and making sure that what we do say, you know, is proper and well-being and our attitude is there. Okay. And let's see. You know, we could, there's a lot of things there. You know, as far as using our mouths, you know, we, in our class that Cindy and I are teaching, we were going over using euphemisms, you know, instead of saying words. And I think we're just bombarded by those. And I could give you some examples. You know, OMG is one of them. And then almost every, I know a lot of the programs that, well, we don't watch that many programs, but there's a lot of things that are out there that take the Lord's name in vain, cuss, and also gossip. So we have to stay away from those things. We have to use our tongues properly and having to do with our lips. How about winning souls? Do you think that would give us wisdom and understanding? When was the last time you had a Bible study with somebody else? When was it? So I challenge you tonight. Think about your friends, your loved ones, and think about having a Bible study with them. Okay, if you're not able to do that, you can ask somebody else. You can ask Jim, you can ask myself, you can ask Terry, and others that are quite capable. So don't let that be an excuse not to have a Bible study with somebody. So it's important that we look at others and value their souls, each and every one. And that's tough, isn't it? Because sometimes we have tunnel vision, don't we? Well, we don't do that. Or we think, oh, somebody else is going to do that. And that doesn't happen, does it? So we need to take the initiative, whether it's ourselves doing it or soliciting somebody else to help. How many people here fear evil tonight? Raise your hand. Do you fear evil? Not a trick question. How many fear evil? Okay. Why do you think you fear evil? Why? Why? Speak up. Okay, you get caught up in it. It'll just suck you in. Okay? And then you become a... Yep. And that's really evil as a way of just creeping up on you. One step at a time. And once we take that first step... You know, how many of you have been on the internet lately? Man, you see all those things on the right and left? What are they trying to do? They're trying to suck you in, aren't they? And typically, they're not things we ought to be doing or going to sites, right? So we have to turn evil away because it can grab us and take us down. So the converse to that is we need to depart from it. Oh, I went in this site. Oh, man, I didn't mean to. Why do you think they put that big X right there? Hit that big X. Get out of it. Get out of there. You know, at work, you know, I can get fired for going to one of those inappropriate sites. And so what they want us to do is, if you do, by accident, you X out of it and just let your boss know, you know, I went there by mistake. But if your intent is to go there, get out of there. Don't even think about it. Because you can get sucked in. And it's so easy to do that. How many are on Facebook? Okay, raise your hand. How many? Okay. Is Facebook okay? Huh? Come on. Is there anything wrong with Facebook? Not always. Okay. So again, you can get sucked in on Facebook too. Okay. And what I'm talking about is when it comes to the point that you're spending more time on Facebook than you are doing the things that you ought to be doing to serve God. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. There's nothing wrong with Facebook. It's how we use it. Okay. And I try to stay away from it, but it sucks me in. But again, that's something that we need to be careful. And I just pick Facebook because that's just one of the things that, you know, we could, you know, just get wrapped all around. So we need to fear evil and we need to flee from it. And then it's Proverbs 14, 16 and Hebrews 3:13. How about who listens to God? Do we all try to listen to God? We try, don't we? One who hears and obeys the Lord. So we're talking about things that will help us to gain in our understanding and our wisdom. So if we don't listen to God, how are we going to get there? You're going to say, nope, I don't think so. This doesn't apply to me. Just like there's a lot of things that we can learn about. We just say, hey, I'm not going to do that. That's not for me. So we can't be selective in what we take that what God has told us to do. Then finally, you know, when you think about being prepared is being an engineer, I don't like not to be prepared. And it's like the example that we have about in Matthew 7 and verse 24, about the wise man anticipates a storm and builds upon the rock. How many times have you done that? You see something coming. Or if you don't see something coming, have you laid the proper foundation? And also, in Matthew 25 and the first 13 verses about the bridegroom. So he fills his vessel with oil. So again, that's a matter of preparing and being ready for something that may be coming down. And then the philosophy of life. Are you the ant or the grasshopper? Did you get that? The ant or the grasshopper? So which, okay, how many people are ants? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Who's an ant? Okay, am I going to have to go back and explain what an ant does and what a grasshopper does? Okay, who's a grasshopper? Okay, you need to be ants. What do ants do? They work. Okay, well, what else do? They store up. Okay, so Daniel, talk to her about that. All right. So tonight I've gone over 8 things that you can make a difference in your life, that you can change, that you have the power to change, because we all have. What do we all have? What do we all have? Come on, help me out. It's not 6 o'clock yet. What do we all have? We have the power to choose. And Cindy just knew that because we've been married 36 years. But we have to empower ourselves to do it. We have to decide we want to serve God. So that's my message for you tonight. Is if you haven't been serving God, here's 8 ways that you can do it. And again, even if you just pick a couple, and I hope you don't just pick a couple, is you pick all 8 of them that we went over tonight. And you can change your life. You can change somebody else's life as well. And that's what we're trying to do, is to get to heaven. So if we change somebody else's life, that means that what? That they may have a chance to get to heaven too. That they'll have a chance to make a decision, like we all did when it came that time. You know, in 1972, a lot of you weren't even born or thought of, but that's when I was baptized. So you do the math. Been a long time. And it's been a progressive journey for the best. And that's what our Christian life should be, is something that we're learning and growing every day. And what happens when we slip? What happens when we sin? What happens if we don't treat our spouse, treat somebody else the way we ought to? Well, the first thing we need to do is apologize and make things right. But first of all, we need to go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive us. So what's your position tonight? Are you ready to be baptized? Do you need Do you know what you need to do? Become a child of God tonight. We're going to extend that invitation tonight. And also, as I was just talking about, you know, things haven't been going too good. Tonight's the best night to make things right with God. If you haven't been doing, maybe you just haven't been doing the things you need to do as a Christian. Tonight's the best time to make that change in your life. So with those thoughts in mind, just stand. We'll be led in our closing.